This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
You ought to see my baby. Girl, that man's so fine. He loves me every morning, every night. And he's always on my mind. He's got sugar-coated love. Yeah, sugar-coated love. Can use an that sugar coated love. Yeah, sugar coated love. He's a real gum, baby. I don't mean, maybe he's mine. Well, if you wanna know what sugar coated love is, it's the best love that they got. It's the kind of love that makes all feel young and make the North Pole hot. Sugar-coated love. Yeah, sugar-coated love. He's a real gum, baby, and I don't mean maybe he's mine.
The following program is brought to you by Carol Cox. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff and management. It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Hey, good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Lovely day here and a little bit of sugar-coated love. So, a lot of good things happening. And depending on who you are, if you're Neil Abercrombie, you're probably going, my God. But then Neil would probably never ask that because he's been behaving like God. So we understand. But it's looking at the today's paper, I'm impressed and happy that you, the voter, you, the listener, you, the whomever, is out there and understand that while we can't vote them out immediately and can't, and we have very little way of speaking to their bad behavior and misbehaving practices, eventually it catches up with them. And if it's true as the polls reflect, and as the comments are consistent with what is being said out there, I think Neil Abercrombie, he won't be setting history. What he'll be doing is giving us, the voter, the taxpayer, an opportunity to see that through our efforts and communicating and talking about these things, we get our own information and we render our own opinions to vote these boogers out. And that's going to be a strong message to others. And for those of you out there that think that, well, we could get with Iggy, we can get worse. Well, that's not a problem. At least we don't want to change government overnight. We want some process. But it is heartwarming to know that, to see it, to pick up the paper in the morning and to see a bold statement. And a lot of that is, it's so obvious. And we talked about it initially on the shows when Neil first come in. We talked about the PLDC and all of that and how he founded that or put that in place and started in motion all of that activity and then the HCDA. And while we were left holding the bag on this and feeling as if we the taxpayers and all and the voters feeling that we were helpless, we now see that maybe we're not. Remember the voting? I mean, just a whole list of things that would contribute. It's just not Neil is slipping in the polls and slip. It's not something as innocuous as that. It is that all of the crap that this man tried to push down our throat has caught up with him. It's that simple. And I am so proud of just reading that, and it could be premature, and he may turn the tides and flip a switch. But remember, this is the same gentleman that stood up and did nothing or very little about the voting debacle. And we see that and took nothing serious. Remember, and we're going to talk about this later, his fight and objections to the Pro Bowl and what have you. And he even alluded to the fact that he wanted to showcase Hawaii and its beautiful, pristine environment and what have you. So I don't know what the callers are. Maybe they just love my voice, but I'm going to chance you. You have something very, very important to talk about because let's talk about Neil, and we'll take a break in a minute. Caller, go ahead. You have a comment?
Yeah.
Caller, go ahead. You have a comment or question?
I have a question.
Well, go for it.
So, how are the people gonna tax their money in Hawaii?
Jacob,
yeah?
you know, if I don't know if you're lonely or just love to hear our voice or what, but you know, be a little considerate. How are the people going to tax their? What are you asking?
No, how are the people gonna tax their money in Hawaii?
Well, I tell you what, go get a book and look at that and read a little bit about taxes and call me back.
Taxes are
structured and there's assessments and what have you, and they're assessed. There's an assessment, okay?
Thank you.
Caller, you have a comment or question?
Yes, I'd like to comment about Neil Abercrombie.
Okay.
The street talk, the word on the street, the word in Kapi'olani Park is he carries around half pounds of marijuana at the Capitol building. At the same time, he does not offer legislation for decriminalization in this state. This is a satanic practice. Abercrombie and his ilk are Satanists, and we must replace them with real, real libertarian libertine. Thank you.
Well, that, Curtis, we need to replace them with libertarians and saltines. I didn't get that last bit, but anyway, we got the gist of it. Yeah, I don't know about the pounds of marijuana, but there is a reality, and this is not to speak to or support or prop up what you just offered there about marijuana and Neil Abercrombie. But what I think he's openly admitted that he smoked marijuana or something. But I think there are other higher-ups in this state, even in state government and law enforcement, that actually routinely were buying marijuana for their personal use and their friends. So it's not a big secret. The shame of it is that reality is that they send people to jail for marijuana and other products, but while some of them in law enforcement and regulatory agencies actually consume the product themselves. So Yeah, but if you have any comments, I'd like to offer an opportunity for you to present them and share them with other listeners out there, because this is, I am excited, but before we go further, understand now, this could be a false reading. You see, it could be good for Ige in the primaries, but in the general, here what you might, when we may not know, and I haven't read all the articles, but I suspect a portion of those people that were polled are Christians, and many of them are probably still pissed as all get up at Neil Abercrombie for getting in and passing and signing and whatever he did to the same-sex marriage bill. So with a little caution I'll offer you, that while it's a sugar-sweet filling and to see that the scoundrel gets his medicine, got to be careful, because there's Duke Iona and there are Duke Iona supporters who, and there's also the Hanneman supporters who will be happy, you know, to vote, if possible, for Ige, thinking that Ige may be the weakest link. But the reality is, it takes a drunkard could figure this one out. Neil Abercrombie is the weakest link, because he does not, has not, never adopted the real needs of the working people, the people of the state, and much of his activity has been a shibai. You know, when he worked in Congress or as a congressman, Congress affords you a shelter. And remember now, this is the same Congress that Neil emerged from, a do-nothing Congress. Keep in mind, a do-nothing Congress. And we're seeing that daily, not just the Republicans, but also the U.S. Senators, the Democrat, the majority. They, too, are lacking. So, see, Neil came back to us endowed with an enamel that is tougher than steel and quieter than any stealthy activity, and bring all of his friends with him with their money bags and building buildings and just doing whatever, HCDA, PLDC, lifting and extending, you know, the environmental laws and suspending those through executive orders. This guy did a good thing, you see, for himself. And here's what I think that got Neil in this bind that he's in. It's where we get to see the emperor when he's naked. And that is, you see, in Congress, anything you do up there, all your problems and bad behavior is shielded because it's not available to the public. You and I will never know. I inquire through Congress and Pelosi's office and all for to see who is this guy, Neil Abercrombie. And Congress and the folks up there told me, no, this records are not available. These are private records. So imagine having that luxury. And you're Neil Abercrombie, and you come back to the little village that you've been representing for thousands of years. And you pretty much insulated yourself, and you don't have any obligation. You can say what you want to, do what you want, and act the way you want to. You can name one guy a czar and thing, and then later pops up, his name pops up in sexual behavior problems and what have you, allegations. And then you hire another guy who's a former judge, worked in the Indian Nations, and all and on and on, and people in masses are occurring, sleeping on the streets. Nothing happening. While we've covered stories where Neil Abercrombie is pictured sitting at the United States Vets, U.S. Vets, homeless shelter there in YWCA on Oahu here, eating shrimp off the barbecue, you know, and grilled and what have you, while that same program with Ron Hahn, his administrator, is feeding veterans raw meat, rotten meat, meat that has been expired, food that has expired. This is the kind of person, and these are the types of activities that will culminate and build and fester to one morning you pick up the paper and you see the article should have just read, "Voters Sick and Tired of the BS." That would have been an acceptable title. But they've done a good job on that article. But now, listen to this, and I got to not be so serious because it's, you know. Governor, this is a statement from Sports ESPN a while back, and it was written by Associated Press, updated June 10th, 2011. And it says, Hawaii, quote, "Hawaii so stupid," quote, "stupid, to waste money." Honolulu, Hawaii, Neil Governor Neil Abercrombie said Thursday, "It's, quote, so stupid," end quote, "that the cash-strapped state pays millions to host the Pro Bowl when the money could be used for education here." Abercrombie said he opposes a deal the state made in 2009 to pay $4 million per game for the rights to hold the NFL All-Star Game in Hawaii this and next year. Quote, "You can't do things like give $4 million bucks to a $9 billion football industry and not give any money to the children." That's Neil Abercrombie. I mean, he cares for the children, folk. He cares for the children. If you believe that, then I will tell you, why are we seeing kids down there at Kaka'ako struggling like they've done something wrong, being punished under the Neil Abercrombie? But he's off abroad telling us all that we got to give it to the children. Abercrombie said as he announced early childhood education and health plans, quote, "You've got this spectacle of these multimillionaires and billionaires out there arguing about how they're going to divide it up and then come and ask us to bribe them with $4 million to have a scrimmage out of here in paradise, out here in paradise," end quote. This is the same Neil Abercrombie that goes down and brings his friend Howard Hughes and all the other billionaires and those companies and all, and build buildings and you name it. And on a sewage system that is defunct, does not function well, and he in poor infrastructure, we don't address our traffic problems, senior citizens getting ripped, and we'll talk about that later in the next hour, and taxes and what have you. The guy cares for his friends. So we've got to get our values straight and our priorities straight, quoting Neil. The Pro Bowl returned to Aloha Stadium. But anyway, isn't that great to have a man that fights like that? But there's one problem. He's conflicted. And so, just in regards to the children, Jeff Davis of the Solar Guy has written a song and playing it. So I'm going to play that, and this goes out to Neil Abercrombie and Jeff Davis, and thank you, Jeff, for playing this song, and go ahead here.
Oh, sure. Living in the streets, it's in my blood, it's in my blood. Living in the streets, you're strong as metal, you're strong as steel. Are they Superman? How does that make you feel? Oh, children, living in the streets, Kaka'ako, how does that make you feel? Oh, strong as metal. Oh, children, strong as steel. No running water. Running water all day long. No toilets, just strollers, water walk. Babies cry, children squeal, riding round the tricycles or the three wheels. Children, strong as steel. Give them my blood. Oh, children, Are you Superman? Are you strong as metal, strong as steel? Children. Oh, children.
All right, that's Jeff Davis, the solo guy. He used to be here at KWAI on Saturdays, and he is now at KGU at 760, at 5 o'clock to 6. But, again, he wrote that, and you know that he has his campaign and of sleeping down in the tents there, and he's asking others to join in. People, anyone can go in and show your concern and send a message to Neil, but... I'm hopefully not taken as being mean-spirited here. So let me take this call, and we'll see. Caller, go ahead. You have a comment, a question?
Hey, Carol.
Yes.
I'm just like you. Yeah, actually, I got a peek at the paper yesterday, and, boy, when I saw that poll, and then what I read what the president of Ward Research said, she said that at this point she doubts that there's anything that he can do.
Yeah. Well, I can got a couple suggestions. Just pack up now and leave. Yeah, and take Isla and all those other guys that sit there, the gatekeepers, and that spend our money. That's just, you know, if you know the storm is coming, prepare for it, right?
Yeah, right.
Board up. Walk out. Secure the place. Hand the keys to Ige. Or Iona, whatever.
Right. Oh, my. I felt like a shot of white lightning, you know, to see that news. Wow. You know, last time I heard, I think it was up by 11.
Yeah.
And then now to see this, and with only a week to go, ooh.
Yeah, well, he, one of the things about it is that I regret that they put his age in the paper because, you see, we don't want to give the impression that we don't respect our elder. I'm getting old now, so I want people to respect me, but I just hope they keep it to the politics because this guy failed. And in fact, many of the programs that we have here has all been giving grants to all the people. And we didn't have any safeguards, no safety nets built in place. We shouldn't have children sleeping on the street as we do, seniors being ripped off and on, and medical issues and medical costs, and, right?
Right.
I mean, that's the reality. We should not have that. And for a guy bringing back his congressional muscle, I think any other person that failed in this position would be okay. We can tolerate that. But this is a man who was in Congress for 1,000 years.
Right.
And then he come back here and we're struggling, but anybody that was his friends were in. Whether it was the NGO issues, GMO issues, all of that. He never weighed in. He never spoke out, but he's presented himself as a caring person, right?
Oh, you know, I saw somebody taped him at the Democratic rally 2 years ago. They have the annual election eve rally in Hilo.
Mm-hmm.
And some protesters showed up who were protesting the PL DC.
Right.
They were saying to abolish it, and then some other Hawaiian patriots. Who are holding signs about no treaty, no annexation. And boy, you should have seen Abercrombie. I mean, he was hoo-hoo.
Mm-hmm.
He was and the stuff he was saying to them.
Oh, I saw that video. I'll have to find that video and post it up. But again, this is not kick a man when he's down. This is a man that was kicking dust in our face saying, shut up, stupid. I am Neil Abercrombie.
That's the essence of what he was saying. Yeah. He was telling the brother, people that fought and died for you, say, the brother is telling you, no treaty, no annexation. He's telling him people that fought and died for him?
Yeah.
I mean, don't you understand what he's telling you?
Yeah. I mean, I sit here now with I've been accused of having a hole in my head anyway, but I sit here now with a hole in my head because of I was out doing things that the Abercrombie administration wouldn't do, and that is focus on the illegalities and the illegal behaviors and all of that that is occurring on Hawaiian homelands,
yeah.
how he's robbing yeah. and ripping off
yeah.
the people
yeah.
that he so much handpicked and loved for his cabinet.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah.
And in turn, tolerating this behavior, ripping of just the native people off, and then aloha. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Right. Yeah, you got another call, Carol.
All right, go ahead. Okay, call back if you like.
Okay.
Aloha.
Oh, hello?
Go ahead, caller. You have a comment or question? Okay. Anyway, I'll welcome all of your calls today, and feel free to call, and don't let me do all the talking because I already have my opinions. But if you recall, we did the, right here on this show, broached the subject of PLDC with Michael Ostendorf, an attorney, and that was before the world, I think, Dr., I can't think of his right name right now. He was one of the few who was speaking out, and, hey, one of the nice things about Hawaii is that we are intelligent people. When I say we, all of us. We may not have the big $1 billion, but give us 5 minutes and we'll fix it. We'll put it together. We'll come up with an opinion that you're a pilau. We know the difference between getting robbed and getting treated fairly. We know that difference. Caller, go ahead. Good morning. You have a comment or question?
Okay. Oh.
Yeah, go ahead.
Listen, hooray. Which is dying. You know, I've been trying to get his attention ever since he came down the shelter and had his 90-day plan to end homelessness, you know. What a joke.
Well, that was 4 years ago, right?
Right.
Just oh, no, okay. How many 90 yeah. days in a four-year period?
Yeah, right. And then, of course, I've been trying to work with his coordinator, Colin Gibbons, for
coordinating
a
what?
Year.
What?
And then this guy is an absolute, I mean, well, I don't want to put it on air. This guy doesn't even know, I've caught Governor Abercrombie, and I said, hey, Governor, I want to talk to you about this homeless issues. And he says, well, we'll go to my coordinator, Kiffin. And I said, excuse me? I've been trying to go to your coordinator for over a year, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, well, I'll make sure he does. And guess what? The last time I saw Colin, he was furious that I would even want to meet with him. He said, I work every day, 7 days a week, from 6 in the morning to 8 at night. And I said, yeah, you get $97,000
yeah.
for that, too, every year. And, oh, he was furious. I said, well, can I talk to your assistant, Brian? And he says, and Brian, oh, he was almost ready to tag me.
Well, the message that I hope you're trying to send to the is not get hung up on Colin Kiffin, but to say it's the guy who is at the helm that appointed him.
Oh, yeah.
Which
oh,
is yeah. Neil Abercrombie. So let's hopefully we don't gravitate or be distracted with, because then we'll have such a wide field, we won't know who to hate and vote out. No.
Well, I don't know about David, but...
It doesn't matter what David's done. We'll talk about David next week. If you got any, all the dirty laundry you want, we'll talk about it. But I want to enjoy this, brother.
It hurts me, too.
No,
it hurts you?
It hurts you?
It hurts me because... I've seen Abercrombie. I mean.
Are you suffering from the Stockholm syndrome, brother? You're homeless. You've been trying to talk to the guy. You've been trying to beg him. Your wife has been threatened with arrest, and in the park, and your son. And you're hurt.
I remember a better Abercrombie. I guess I have a fantasy that he was gonna do something, but his big mouth, that's what's gotten Abercrombie in all these problems. Ask any of the teachers here.
Well, let me just say that I was an admirer of Neil Abercrombie as congressman myself, trust me.
I was.
But as a person who, it all started off when, hey, you know, can I get as a, I have a little radio show here and I'm an environmentalist who you know for years. Could I get, can I get a press release from you that you send out to the thousands, to the masses, just in the, just add my name to the list? And they said, no, you don't qualify. You just talk about environmental issues. So therefore you're not. So anyway, let me get to the other call and call back.
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
Call back. We'll take up your thoughts.
Third fan all the way.
Caller, good morning. Go ahead. You have a comment?
People might remember when Neil was running for office, there was two people up there on the Legality Highway early in the morning from about 5 to 6:30, 7 o'clock. With the
caller, go ahead. I think we had a... You there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
Go ahead with your comment.
Caller, good morning. Go ahead. You have a comment? You
have a comment or question?
I have a comment. Did you hear any of my... I was just talking before. Was I cut off by accident or something?
No, I wouldn't know it by accident, but go ahead and talk. I don't know what happened.
I campaigned for Neil Abercrombie, and anybody that has any ideas that this man could do anything better for this state,
right,
this next, you know, this primary, they're fooling themselves, because he's only going to be doing the exact same thing that he's been doing the last couple of years. Like I said, I was a proponent of his. I campaigned for him religiously and righteously, but he was going to do something for the people away, but he hasn't done nothing. And so this Edie guy, I don't know too much about him, but he seems like he's a pretty stout guy. Anybody could be better than Abercrombie. Okay? That's what I have to say to the people.
Okay.
Please, do not vote for the man.
Yeah, for Abercrombie.
Yes.
Okay. I want to make something very clear. I'm focusing on the activities of Neil Abercrombie. I'm not offering this show today to suggest that I would vote for Ige. That's your own opinion. You know, whoever you want to vote for, if you want to vote for Mufi or if you want to vote for Iona, that's still, I have to respect that. But I will weigh in on Neil Abercrombie and why we should just simply give him a ticket and tell him, just go home. Be done. Leave the people's business alone.
Originally, go back there and settle. You know, have your retirement over there, because we don't need you here.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. And I'm a Democrat. I wouldn't vote for no Republican. And he had to be really, have to change your platform before I could vote for a Republican in this state.
Yeah. And so, and the thing is, you know, here's some of the things that, you know, people are saying. You know, look, if he loses, then Ige might appoint Colleen Hanabusa as a chief of staff, you know. So you got all those things floating around out there. But so that's why I'm saying to you, we're just going to restrict this conversation to Neil Abercrombie and what.
Neil Abercrombie's record is totally trash. He has done nothing for.
Yeah.
Especially when you were talking about the homeless people and stuff.
Yeah.
That problem could be solved. We have money in the coffers that we could just build houses for these, especially the women who struggle. The guys, most of them guys are on drugs, or alcoholics, and then they get put in a clinic.
Mm-hmm.
People with the babies and the children and stuff, they're down there just barely scraping along. If we can't bring their lifestyle up higher with the money that we have and the coffers of this state, it's the executive that's causing the problem.
Right. Hey, and add to that is that these are realities, and we're not picking at him. And the reality is our veterans, we learn one of the worst sessions in the state. And he has a person, Ron Hahn, who he handpicked and appointed to run the Veterans Affairs. And we learned that we have the worst service for the veterans almost in the United States.
Yes.
So he doesn't give a damn about veterans.
So many people... The state has been attacked. You figure we owe these military guys a whole lot. You know what I mean? They protected us. You know, in war and in time of peace, it's insane what they've done to the fringe people, what you may call the military, the homeless, the despondent. You know, all the things that they're right in front of our face, And we got plenty of money. We got multi-millions of dollars in our treasury that could be spent. What is this guy waiting for? Who's he giving this money out to? His friend?
Well, but he's able to go to these gatherings and send his representative for Ron Hahn and those guys and pretend that they care about the veterans and all. Remember, this guy protested the wars and what have you. And how about a memorial? Did we ever see anything from him for the police, the veterans here, to do anything in the memorial to recognize them and make sure that everything that works for them is there? Because if you're an officer and you lose your life, your family struggles. If you're in the military and you lose your spouse, they struggle. When they go abroad and leave the wife here or leave the husband here to take care of the children, what programs are there really out there that Neil Abercrombie was really pushing and telling his men, I want the best for these people? And also the general taxpayer.
Anything. Somebody to compile the record that he had and the record that he could have done. You mean, he done this, but he only did a little bit. You mean, just like a perfume kind of thing. Oh, I'll just spray some perfume on this problem and make it smell good for a little while until I get out of office. Yeah, that's what I think he is. He's just so surface. You know, he's superficial as you can believe. I think the man is I'm sorry that I voted for him, and please. Nobody else vote for the guy, because we'll be in trouble for 4 more years if we let him in office any longer.
Okay.
I'm glad that he's way behind in the polls.
Well, good, and I'm glad the people are waking up and see it. I know we can do it. See, that's what's joyful about this.
There's people power. Everybody out there, stick together. Let's make our state a better place. Let's put some officers, you know, some politicians in there that are sincere. Like you said, how long he was? 4 years in the Congress?
Yeah.
And what are the accomplishments, I wonder? They never really much. The only reason he won the election, I think, is because they had a weak, you know, a proponent, this Iona.
Yeah.
I think he was a weak opponent. You know, I don't know. He beat him by 80,000 votes or something? I don't know the exact vote count.
Right.
He was pretty well trounced, Iona.
Hey, you know what's really good about this, and I'll let you go, but is the joy of watching and reading this. It's going to set history if it plays out the way it's predicted. That's going to be a message. That's going to be a message, a shot over every lazy-ass politician and every conniving politician.
Together, man, you better step down off of out of that office. Don't even try because you're wasting everybody's money.
You understand the joy of this? If it plays out the way they're predicting, there's going to be a lot of sneaky peeks that's going to be looking for a place to hide, and they're going to vacate their offices, because if they don't, we'll vacate it for them.
Yeah, because we're going to uncover all the shit that's going on. Usually in this half term, when the guy can't win the second thing, like you said, all the rats are going to go running.
They're going to say, did you see what happened? Not just to that guy. Did you see what the voters did to Neil Abercrombie? My God, you know, what a beautiful poster child.
Yeah. Really.
So I'm hoping we follow through.
Never try it again.
We'll clean up it one way or the other.
Right.
Okay.
Keep the street, everybody.
All righty.
Bless, bro.
Aloha. Caller, thanks for waiting. You have a comment or question?
Thank you for taking my call.
All right, that'll be $50.
Happy days are here again. Here is a quote from Shapiro. It's a cliche, but politicians in diapers must be changed often and for the same reason. And I hope that what you had prophesied comes true at every level, from janitor to governor.
Yeah, I can you imagine the nervousness of the entire concession sitting around going, my God.
I couldn't believe it. I've been telling people that Abercrombie's a shoo-in because of his publicity.
No, you believe it. You know that. You know better. You know.
The people vote.
All your efforts and the frustration, that's why you do it. You know it. There's light at the end of the tunnel. And you're going to meetings and complaining and getting the word out.
Well,
people may not nod their head in agreement with you all the time, but they may have also a bad experience or something that's unsettling with them.
Points, and I've thought of you, and I get inspired. Let me go on. I picked whatever I could out of my notes. Here's the big question asking the people. Should the Department of Hawaiian Homelands be allowed to make confidential its documents on homeland leases? Yes, 11%. No, 89%.
But this is the Neil Abercrombie administration and hand-picked directors who promoted this nonsense.
Exactly.
And his attorney general. Can you imagine?
House panel okays DHHL confidentiality bill. Here's another one. Third advisor leaves Abercrombie, October 8th, 2011. Governor's communication chief quits after two of his colleagues resign.
Wait, Richard, are you talking about Putin?
Hey, Mr. Cox.
Maybe you might be reading
it. And that I'm coming from the national, governor, county, street level.
I thought could have sworn you were talking about Putin and the way he behaved, but you're talking about Abercrombie.
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, okay, let's get it straight here now, because it's hard to discern.
And I know, but listen, I'm so excited. I'm so happy. I am so damn happy. Captain, he's the interagency in homelessness. And he was quoted, I've got the notes, in Colin Kaepin and Jun Young.
Colin Kippen.
Yeah, Colin Kippen, whatever his name is. We're an island. People are coming from around the world. And we've got the corridor. And they're going to provide affordable housing along the corridor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, an affordable market here. And our children can't afford to live here. So they must do their part. It's all so corrupt, and I'm just so happy. I hope.
Well, listen to this. Now, I was talking earlier, and I got one thing. You can hold on here if you could.
Sure.
This is regarding the Neil Abercrombie and the Pro Bowl and his comments, and this is taken from an article that was back in June 2011, June 10th. Associated Press wrote it, and it's run by ESPN, CBS. So, here, former Honolulu Mayor Mufi Hanuman, who negotiated contracts to keep the Pro Bowl in Hawaii, said the game boosts the economy, helps support government programs, including education. Quote, it creates jobs, it's an economic revenue generator, it provides positive impressions throughout the United States, said Hanuman, who ran against Abercrombie last year and is now president for the Hawaii Hotel and Lodging Association. Quote, Honolulu is a great sports town. Sports tourism is very important. But Abercrombie dismissed the economic impact of the game, saying newly enacted sex civil unions will do just as much to bring visitors to the state. And then, quote, oh, please, we'll get more out of civil unions in a weekend than we'll get out of those guys, he said. We're going to market. Don't worry about marketing. Abercrombie used the Pro Bowl as an example of ways the government could redirect money underfunded children program. He announced Thursday he's reallocating. But if you would hold on, you know now, and definitely of all people, I'd love to have your comments in about 5 minutes, so hang on there. But you know, we found out that he went to Miami, used visions from Miami, right, in his commercial, right? And then there's another document, April 10th, this article, 2014, done CBS Miami. And this is what they said. They're quoting Neil Abercrombie, and he quotes, While we would like to have had the Pro Bowl in Hawaii in 2015, the return of the Pro Bowl in 2016 provides the state with an opportunity to showcase our island's unique culture and beauty, end quote. This is what Abercrombie, now, right? So you would think now, cash-strapped, as he said, and keep the money here, and we shouldn't be paying $4 million, and promote the beauty of the images, right? But hold on now. Now, but again, now we learn that he has used images from Miami. Why wouldn't he use images from Honolulu? That's where he's running for in the state of Hawaii, right? But just hold on here. I got to play this because I think it's Neil is deserving. This
no,
is
please she, do, please do.
This is his swan song, I think.
I hope so.
Yeah, Miami, South Beach, bringing the heat, can y'all feel that, can y'all feel that, jig it out.
Turn your radio down, Richard.
Here I am in the place where I come let go. In Miami, the bass and the sunset low. Every day like a Mardi Gras. Everybody party all day. No work, all play, okay? So we sip a little something, leave the rest to spill. Me and Charlie at the bar running up a high bill. Nothing less than ill when we dress to kill. Every time the ladies pass, they be like, can y'all feel me? All ages and races, real sweet faces. Every different nation, Spanish, Haitian, Indian, Jamaican, black, white, Cuban, or Asian. I only came for 2 days of playing, but every time I come, I always wind up staying. This the type of town I can spend a few days in. Miami, the city that keeps the roof blazing.
Party in the city where the heat is on, all night on the beach till the break of dawn.
Welcome to Miami, bienvenido a Miami.
Party in the city where the heat is on, all night on the beach till the break of dawn.
I'm going to Miami.
Yo,
I heard the rainstorms ain't nothing to mess with, but I can't feel a drip on the strip. It's a trip. Ladies have dress full of your quip, and they be screaming out. So I'm thinking I'ma scoop me something hot in this South Summer Rain Game Mountain Pot. Hottest club in the city, and it's right on the beach. Temperature, get the it's about 500 degrees in the Caribbean cities with the hot mommies screaming. Every time I come to town, they be spotting me in the drop Bentley, ain't no stopping me. So cash in your dough and flow to this fashion show. Pound for pound, anywhere you go. Yo, ain't no city in the world like this. And if you ask how I know, I got to plead the bell.
Miami,
where the heat is on all night on the beach till the break of dawn.
Welcome to Miami. Bienvenido a Miami.
Dancing in the club where the heat is on all night on the beach till the break of dawn.
I'm going to Miami. Don't get me wrong, Chi-Town got it going on. And New York is the city that we know don't sleep. And we all know that LA and Philly stay jiggy. But on the snake, Miami bringing heat for real. Y'all don't understand. I never seen so many Dominican women with sentiment tans. Mira, this is the plan. Take a walk on the beach, draw a heart in the sand. Give me your hand. Damn, you look sexy. Let's go to my yacht in the West Keys. Ride my jet skis, lounge under the palm trees. Cause you gotta have cheese for the summer house piece on South Beach. Water so clear, you can see to the bottom. 100,000 dollar cars, everybody got them. Ain't no surprise in the club to see Sly Stallone. Miami, my second home.
Miami.
Party in the city where the heat is on, all night on the beach till the break of dawn.
Welcome to Miami. Bienvenido a Miami.
Bouncing in the club where the heat is on, all night on the beach till the break of dawn.
I'm going to Miami.
Welcome to Miami.
Party in the city where the heat is on, all night on the beach till the break of dawn.
I'm
going to Miami.
Welcome to Miami.
Party in the city where the heat is on.
And as Neil Abercrombie would say, this one's on me. So
that is perfect. International money in Miami, international money here now from every direction.
And clear waters that you can see to the bottom, but here in Honolulu, because Neil bringing all of his friends to build buildings and all that crap is put in the ocean, we can't see our feet standing
exactly.
3 feet of water.
No. And going back to Kakaʻaku and land acquisition, the city, the state, and the two are the Kamehameha Trust and Howard Hughes.
Yeah.
Now, Howard Hughes just decided a month ago. When did he decide to invest in land in Kakaʻaku?
That quick. I mean, must have been while Neil was in Congress.
Of course. And it's very, for me personally, I don't worry. You must go back. You must go back and look at all the connections.
Yeah,
I'm going to bring up rail just a little bit, but Breen Orimoto, talking about moving these people out, has three TODs going in his district, and they took them away from Salt Lake, and they went through the rail and so forth. There are so many instances of corruption at every single level, the health care, the education, the rail. The rail was never about moving many people quickly. It was all about jobs and real estate and contractors and investors, etc.
Yeah. Well, all I can say, and I've said it 10 times, I think, this morning, power to the voters out here, right on, for knowing they think they pull the wool over your eyes. And also power to the people in telling Ige, if you come in with the shenanigans and or Mufi Hanneman, but see, they also handed Mufi his butt in a basket, too, on the last election. So you know, I love it. You take the Hawaiian voter for granted, and they give you, treat you with such niceties and bring you mochi and chicken and bring let you come and dance with them and do all that. But in the back of their mind, the Hawaiian voter is a very interesting person. I'm entity.
I am just so happy for the people, for the commons.
Yeah, I mean, and they're listening out there, and this is hopefully seize an opportunity. If you haven't, I don't know if you can register now. I don't know what, I didn't update my knowledge on this. But for the, go register to vote. And all of you people that are proud to sit there and go, I don't vote. Really? That's you might as well say, I'm taking my children up here to the volcano and throw them in. Because that's just what you're doing. It is not about you. I don't vote. I don't get involved in voting. People actually sit some.
Oh, can you imagine the taxes for your grandchildren? No more federal money.
Yeah.
That will run out. Real property taxes. The only way they're going to get the money.
Yeah, but anyway, we're going to talk some more in the next hour about taxes and the city taxes a little bit. And I welcome all of you. 524-1080 is the number. I'd like to hear from all of you out there and let us know.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cox.
All right, next hour, give us a call back.
Okay,
and
bye.
Thank you. Aloha. I just got to play this thing again with my friend Jeff Davis, so about Kaka'ako. Caller, go ahead real quick. You have a comment or question.
Oh, hi. You know what? I just want to say, you know, I support Neil Abercrombie. I'm just a regular citizen out here, and, you know, I thought what he did for marriage equality, that was the right thing. I think on pensions, he was right. I think that was just fair. I think, you know, maybe he could have phased it in, you know, but all of us, you know, working people and retirees with our 401ks, we're not going to get some massive tax exemption. On principle, he's been right, you know, and I just think he's just getting picked on by a lot of different people.
Well, why don't you just call the entire population of voters stupid? You picked on, or maybe there's been a process and Neil has been able to speak for himself without having a person to call up in the last dying minute and beg on and plea for him. We're not sentencing him to lethal injection. He stuck himself.
No,
Wait. He stuck himself. He's had 4 years, and you're going to take 4 seconds to tell us how perfect he is. The proof.
Not perfect.
Brother.
But he's represented me well.
Well, good for you. And I also campaign and love the fact that we have same sex. Great. And marriage and all of that, but
it's
again,
the economy. There's absolutely no doubt. It's going to bring in millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. It's
right.
Not going to harm the environment, and I'm 100% in support of trashing him and against him on that.
Trashing.
Yes.
How much does he pay you for a salary?
Many people. Neil Abercrombie isn't doing it for himself. He doesn't need more money.
Well, you know what? Neil could have come on our show and shared these same sentiments that you have and probably been a little more voracious about it and more willing. But you see, we're little people. He doesn't think much of this show, so good. Just keep reading the document. And things may change. You may convince most of the people out there in the last 4 minutes.
David Ige. Here's my
call back the next hour, and I'll welcome you to you. I'll give you as much time as you want to talk about David Ige. Promise.
I'll call you back.
Call me back. Now. But don't come here with BS now. I want some facts.
Never. I'm with.
I want. No. I want facts. Listen. I want facts and documents. Don't call back with bull.
I've given only facts.
Okay.
I've given
right.
only facts.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome to call back. Aloha.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol. The following program is brought to you by Carol Cox. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff and management.
Oh, living in the streets. It's in my blood. It's in my blood. Living in the streets. Strong as metal, as strong as steel. Are they Superman? How does that make you feel? Oh, children, living in the streets. Cock-a-cock-o, how does that make you feel? Oh, strong as metal. Children strong as steel. No running water, no running water all day long. No toilets, just strollers, water walk. Babies cry, children squeal. Riding round the tricycles or the three wheels. Children strong as steel. Give them my blood. Oh, children living in the streets. Are you Superman? Strong as metal, strong as steel, children. Oh, children.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. That was, again, Mr. Jeff Davis, the solar guy. He appears at KGU on the every day, 5 to 6, 760 a.m., every day at 5 to 6 p.m. And, you know, Jeff is, like many of us, are concerned with the children and the homeless issues and just justice. So he went out and wrote this song, and I wish I knew all the players and I would name them. But anyway, we'll talk later. But if you can, if you find a little bit of chump change or whatever in your pocket, or a little bit of care, toss it their way down there at Kakako and let the politicians know that they are human too. Not the politicians, but I mean the children are, and the homeless. So anyway, I guess I got the Neil Abercrombie campaign manager or whatever it is online. Hello there. Are you back?
Yes.
All right. Well, what's your name there, brother?
Hey, my name is Daniel. I'm a private citizen. I'm not connected with any campaign or anything.
Oh, no problem.
I just feel strongly about this. Let me tell you this fact, okay? You know, in the newspaper today, there was a poll, and it looks like Ige is going to win. I'll just concede that. It just looks like he's going to win. Fine, okay? You know, I'm going to be voting in that primary. I'm a Democrat. You know, I'm big on the environment, which I know you are. You know, I voted for President Obama 3 times, I think. I was down there at the elementary school down at Jefferson, lined up with Senator Inouye, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But here's my feeling about, you know, Abercrombie. I think he's done a lot of good things. I think he led on the same-sex, on the marriage equality, which is going to be tremendous for our economy. It's not going to be harming the environment, anything like that.
Well, let's stop there for a moment. If we one piece at a time. You there?
All right. Yes.
Now, when you say he led, I distinctly recall that it was like pulling chicken teeth to get him to speak up and say anything about the bill. It was a gamesmanship I don't recall him just coming out and doing what's right because it was just and right in the beginning. So I don't want to make a misrepresentation. And if I'm wrong, you let me know. But I recall that it took an act of earthworms to move his butt to come out and say something. Then he declared. So I suspect that, yes, he did. But the way he did it was he created a bigger problem and the trust amongst those people that would have supported him. So I don't know. But
he got the job done. He got the job
done. Yeah, I know, but how...
pragmatic
yeah,
about it.
Yeah.
I don't know, but he did. In the end, he pushed the legislature. He got elected, and he pushed the legislature. And to me, he signed the bill. Compare that to our last governor, Governor Lingle. She vetoed the bill. So the legislature, now was only for civil unions. So
mm-hmm.
you got to remember... Neil Abercrombie not only immediately passed the civil unions bill, he then pushed for the marriage equality, marriage now,
mm-hmm.
not just the civil
mm-hmm.
unions. He got both, he signed both of those. So
mm-hmm.
I think, you know, his actions speak louder than any words or anything else. And, you know, quite honestly, you know, like I said, I've got respect for you, but, you know, whether his brochure has Miami in it or not, is to me, is just immaterial. You know, I judge him on his actions, what he got done, his policy.
Well, that's why probably I keep my pants on the right side of the bed and you probably keep yours on the left. I'm just saying to you, it doesn't matter what I think. The fact is, and how I think, I mean, on the environment, you say you respect me on the environment. This dude got into office and by executive order, quietly and stealthy-like, lifted and suspended all environmental and land use laws. What are you going to...
All of them. I've
reported this three or four... Listen.
All laws...
Listen.
Environment, I mean...
Listen now. See, when you talk like that, it's an attempt to belittle me. Go read for yourself. Go to Carol Cox. Wait. Stop. You see, when you say, and then you're looking for the facts, I'm offering you facts. Go to carolcox.com, and you can read for yourself. Just Google Governor Abercrombie executive order lifting environmental laws.
Okay.
Don't take my word for it.
Okay.
And
I have to take your word. I will take your word and I'll check it out. Okay?
Right. Please do, because he was my hero, too, and that's the problem, see.
Fair enough.
But what else you like to share with us on?
I would like to share some other things. I'm interested in let's totally change the subject. I'm interested in your opinion on something else. And that
Uh-oh.
Is, the Waikiki shooting that happened the other day with an HPD
right.
officer. And, you know, I've been in my mind, I'm kind of comparing that to, the federal officer Dee down there in McDonald's
right.
happened a couple years ago. And, you know, I kind of look at it, you know, in the HPD, both HPD one was on YouTube, you can see for yourself, you know, I didn't see the officer that he was in immediate danger. I mean, yeah, there was some danger there, but, you know, and then I saw the McDonald's video and, you know, Dee Dee's on the ground at one point, he's kind of trying to hold the guy off. And so but yet in one case, you had every cop down there. I was leaving Waikiki at the time, and so many cops, and even 15, 20 minutes later, fire engines were going out, and they just circled the wagons. This guy's being supported, he's being praised, and whereas Dee Dee was just booked and put on trial twice, and it was a mistrial, it was 8-4 to acquit him or to find him not guilty. And I don't know, I just feel like, you know, I would be fine, my opinion, I'd be fine with both of these guys, the HPD officer and the federal officer not being prosecuted, I mean, not being sentenced to jail time or anything, but it just makes me wonder if there's, it just seems to me a little bit of a double standard, and the system isn't perfectly fair, I understand that, but it just seems like, they seem like very similar cases, but entirely different outcomes. So,
well,
I want to ask your opinion. What's your opinion?
I'll give you some observations, and I'm always careful to judge what happens in a police. I have my personal
mm-hmm.
reaction, but when you're speaking openly,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to inflame people. But mm-hmm. if you've ever had reason to contact in a law enforcement capacity, once you initiate that contact, you and I sitting at home on the sofa go, look at that cop. He initiated that. Well, maybe he took a situation that was real simple, the one that down in Honolulu and the Waikiki, And maybe he thought what the sufficient action to take would be to get the guy's keys. That happens occasionally. He's having contact with him. It's not a lethal contact. It's nothing. So he made an attempt to contain the guy and take the keys and turn that. And then the person, he didn't know the person's mental state, but that was that, and it escalated from there. To say, well, is the policeman wrong? And I noticed someone said that, well, one news report reported that this same cop was at this other shooting, you know, involved. Well, that's his job to be there, and I'm not placing judgment, but I don't believe that the Didi situation and this new recent incident have any relationship to one another. Didi...
No, they don't, but both were shootings, and one, the officer was arrested and put on trial twice, and the other one, the guy's basically being praised, and nobody's going to touch that, no prosecutor, just because of, it just seems to me it's not the law, it's just sort of public opinion, you know. One, you have an angry family, and nobody, no real local support for this guy. And the other one, you have all the cops, like, he's one of us, and whatever he does.
No, I don't.
No, it just, it's,
I don't think.
Yeah.
I don't think so. That this would be one of this. What I will say, my opinion is, this is why when we elect people, we think beyond. This is why let me slow down and just give you a little bit of history about why I have my attitude. Why the attitude toward people standing on the street corner waving signs and going vote for me high. You know, yesterday I saw Michelle Kadani's people out there on the cell phone and just standing there just so lovingly waving the hand, you right? So they're on the phone and just do the motions. Okay, you know, they're in Mililani, and I'm thinking, how absurd. But here's the problem.
It's a Hawaii tradition. That's all you could say. Best thing you could say about it.
Well, yeah, that's the best thing I could say. But what I'm saying to you, and with the little thought behind it, is that this is why I'm opposed to that kind of behavior and rendering a decision on voting. And this is why when Neil Abercrombie does not show up to these campaign debates and what have you, it robs the people of a genuine and a bona fide attempt to see and hear and ask questions and see and hear and learn things about each candidate and their policies. When we don't participate in that, then we have no grounds.
I agree with
so
that.
That's,
I agree with that. You know, and I think it comes down to this pension thing. You know what? He's angered the teachers. He didn't get in the contract fast enough. You know, there was real fiscal, you know, there wasn't the money. I think he thought, I'll delay it. They'll give them their contract and they'll be happy, you know, and everything will be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing, the other group that he angered were the pensioners. And old people vote, young people don't. It's just as simple as that. So these old people, they're getting pensions. Not any other type of retirement. See, when I retire, my money's going to be in IRAs. I will get it's not going to be like, oh, it's the same thing for me. It isn't. It's not going to be the same. I won't be tax exempt. I personally know my friend's dad is from Massachusetts. He gets a $400,000 pension totally tax-free from the state of Hawaii, and he himself says, that's wrong. That is a wrong thing. Why should I get an out-of-state pension and not be taxed on it? And some poor guy that's taking out from his 401k or from his traditional IRA, why is he getting taxed on it? And
well,
that's entirely tax-free.
But see,
wrong.
And here,
Abercrombie, in principle, was absolutely right on that issue, and he's getting crucified by the AARP, and it's just simply wrong. In principle, he was right.
Well,
and Ige is grandstanding and taking advantage of that issue and instilling fear and greed among all these voters, and that's just wrong.
Well, I think that if I would say to you, if I could put a bug in your bonnet and let you go back to the Neil Abercrombie camp, because he doesn't respect anything we have to say here, he didn't even acknowledge us, I would suggest that if I could give you a little message, tell him to quit being so damn arrogant. It's a little late now in the game, but his arrogance and sending other people to do his dirty work and then having people out there to call around and defend him, he didn't need to be defended if he had spoken up. We could have discerned ourselves if he's telling us lies or what his policies are, and now we're going to attack Iggy for standing up and speaking out. And when this guy, but going back to before I lose,
Hold on, stop a minute.
Before I go further and lose the thought on the policeman.
Okay.
So by saying to the politicians that we don't want the street corner nonsense anymore, we want communication. You show up. So we can ask you questions like, well, not in Neil's situation, it wouldn't apply, but other politicians. So if I vote for you as mayor, who are you going to try and support for chief of police? And then who are you going to report and pick and vet for the police commission? See, if we have a complete thought in this process and we had a viable process, rather than just picking any guy with a special interest, then you and I would probably have a clear picture, and we wouldn't impugn the integrity of a policeman. I don't know what that policeman was faced with there. That guy, you don't know. I mean,
no. And I said I'm okay with him not being prosecuted. I'm
right.
Okay with that.
Right.
I'm just saying, why was Didi, under? He was under threat. His life was in danger. I didn't see that from this other cop. But Didi was immediately booked and then faced two trials. So that's what I'm saying.
Right. Well, the problem is it wasn't the same. And then secondly, what did the other person have that would have proved lethal, would have risen to the occasion or level of a weapon that Didi had? When you say his life was threatened, he would have gotten the crap beat out of him, maybe. But what was a life threatening?
Getting beaten up, he was on the ground at one point, and that's more than you can say for the officer. He was armed, and the other guy was unarmed.
Well, I would say what the federal government should do is train its officers not to screw with people at McDonald's. I mean, McDonald's can be bad for your health anyway.
Okay, but listen, here's apparently what happened. Okay, now. I want you can answer this question. I have a question. If I were to be at McDonald's and you were there as a customer, because this is what happened, this Mr.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I don't know everything, okay, but what I understand is this. If you were in McDonald's and I start hurling racial epithets at you, and I start yelling at you and bullying you, okay, and you were intimidated, which is what he was doing, okay, and then the officer was saying, hey, cool it, and then I attacked a police officer, and then I was beating him, and I was going for his gun, and then he had shot me. Do you think that officer, if that had been the H, would he have been arrested immediately and faced trial two times for me if I had been the dead one? I don't think so. I think N capital 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 N capital
Well, all I can say is that it's a shame that the man intervened and took. I didn't. Here's a question. Then and why was Dee Dee the rare monkey in the bunch that there were other people in there? Why didn't they see the need to interact and confront the other guy, elders? Why there were other? What about his other friends that were agents? Wait, stop. See, this is.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm asking you. So forget the theories. Just ask these basic questions. The other guys too had some relationship with Dee Dee, and why wasn't their assessment of this threat to the life that that elders were supposedly presenting? Why didn't the other people, their security guards around there, why didn't they adopt the same mindset immediately? You know, this is, oh my God, there's a death is about to be presenting itself here on this guy. We got to do something. Why didn't they do it?
Yeah, no, that's a fair question. But all I know is they've had a lot of people, a lot of eyewitness testimony.
I don't care. I'm asking and addressing your question. You keep saying he was protecting the guy. Why didn't the others feel their ability to assess danger?
Maybe they did. I just don't know.
Felt that the level.
I'm sure all of them have testified at this point.
But I know that. So you're running from the specific point that I'm trying to stress. They felt no need to intervene. They didn't see
that. You know what I'm saying? You're saying you want to have facts.
Well, they didn't. They didn't do it. That's what I'm telling you. They did not react the way Dee Dee did. Well, not well. They did not. And we're looking at rather being.
Well, they didn't. They don't have a gun. Number one.
How do you know?
I will just. A security guard at McDonald's isn't an arm.
No, no. I'm talking about his friends that were accompanying him. Were they associated? Were they law enforcement? Or did they leave their guns in the hotel? Were they carrying one? Were packing? I mean.
No, no. They were friends. And you're right. There is in the video. There is a guy. There is a security. I think a security woman. She looked like to be about a 50-year-old woman standing there.
Yeah.
But the thing is, and unarmed. I'm gonna. You know. That's. I'm sure she was unarmed. But. It you know, these things unfold pretty fast, pretty quickly, and, yeah. You know, you have two guys that are in their physical prime, and they're going at it. What you do see is a lot of wincing, a lot of fear coming from the staff and from the McDonald's people. They're kind of ducking behind the register going, oh, crap, you know.
Of course, because there's a guy with slippers on and casually dressed pulling out a gun, pointing it at someone. Maybe that's why they jumped.
You can't forget, this guy is hurling racial epithets. He's hassling a customer. I mean, that stuff.
What racial epithet was he raising?
Oh, he was saying the F and Howley.
Okay, well, listen to this show and any other show in this state, and you'll hear people, everybody talking about the word Howley and all. You know, I think what.
Yeah, no, just in and of itself, it's not an epithet.
Right,
when
right.
You put
right.
the F word in front of it.
Oh, really?
If someone calls you an F and, you know what? I think.
No, they don't call me anything. They just hit me. They don't bother them.
And I know that's happened to you. And, you know, I think that's awful what happened.
It's okay. But again, violence.
Yourself, you know, so.
Violence is out there, brother. And the idea is we fight violence not after the fact. We fight it in prevention by appointing good people and selecting good law enforcement people and having proactive, interactive enforcement efforts to do these things and prevent this kind of behavior. That's all. That's the way it is.
I've been hit too. I was up in Kailua. I was going about my business. I got completely just cold cocked, smacked. Next thing I know, I'm landing in the sand. I got hit for no good reason, and I'm lucky it didn't connect with my nose, my tooth. It just, and I went for my jog, and afterwards I told the cops, you know, I had my jog, I told the cops, they were like, yeah, we need to talk to that young man or something. Nothing about arrest.
Now, our incident was similar. You look for your dog, you know the first thing I look for? My camera.
Your camera.
Where is my camera, man? I just lost my head. Where is my camera?
Yeah. No, I just went for my jog. That's what I said. Not my dog. My jog. I went for a run on the beach.
They want to keep hitting you in the jaw. They want to keep you from talking and hit me on the head, keep me from walking, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Well,
let me get this other call. Hold on if you'd like to.
I'll let you go.
All right.
Okay?
But you didn't get your other punch on Iggy, but call back if you like. Okay.
I thank you.
Caller, thanks for waiting. You have a comment, a question?
Yeah, Carol.
Yes.
Yeah, you know about that incident with Didi. You know what started it? It's Eldridge was getting in an interchange with that customer, the girl over there sitting in the booth.
Mm.
And she's a local girl, and they were kind of getting, you know how local people joke around, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And he was, getting kind of heated about it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Eldridge came over and kicked him. This is where the starting point, right there.
Right.
Now, he went and kicked him. So, it wasn't any... Elders wasn't doing anything harmful. The girl testified and said it wasn't... it was just joking around.
Mm-hmm.
But his idea, Didi's idea was that he was harassing a Holly girl, you know.
Oh, my.
Yeah, so he went and got his...
God forbid if Didi saw one of them marry one.
Right, so he went and lived with his... His cowboy attitude is going to be one of these cowboys to the rescue kind of stuff, and he went and kicked him.
Ah, okay.
Here's where it started, okay? And the girl herself said he wasn't harassing her. They were just kidding around and joking.
Mm.
Local style.
Okay.
So it's like the guy is from Virginia, you know.
Yeah.
But do you know about how locals operate?
Well, I just think it's a human tragedy in that you have this mixture, and now I think the federal government has a responsibility, and that this is about judgment. And then the other earlier caller said something about they're really similar to the one at HPD. No, the HPD guy was faced with something that presented itself right then and there. You know, it was in his enforcement. I don't know if he was right or wrong. Let them do this, their investigation.
Don't know what happened over there.
Right, but with Dee Dee, I just think that
he went in there and tried to be like Mr. Cowboy.
Yeah, but you know, I don't know the details, but I would just simply say that if you are you fight force with force. I mean, do you in a squabble in a hamburger joint such as that no guns, no knives, or nothing, and then you pull out a gun to resolve it? I know some federal agencies teach you don't fire warning shots. You just fire to annihilate the person, immobilize them, and that's it. Some federal agencies don't even train you to use pepper gas or pepper spray or baton. They just... it is illegal to fire warning shots in many federal agencies. So you figure the rest out. So you got him in there, and so you need to vet these people to know, can you take the strain? If you can't, don't go out socializing with your gun. If you do, leave it at home, and you're on your own.
Right.
I think the federal the federal agency
right before you better watch out for locals. His,
right.
The man is preset mindset is already there.
Yeah.
When he entered into the and he was already drinking too. So.
And it is true that's not a rumor. When I arrived here in law enforcement, I was told by the people that I was coming over here, they recruited, said, oh, you got to be careful. Don't go to Wynon. Watch out for the locals. They hate blacks, and they don't like Howleys, you know. And so
a bunch of crap.
Right, right. But you can go, you know, don't go to Wynon. You get ripped off. But you can go to Waikiki. Yeah, right. I might get stiffed in Waikiki quicker than I would in Wynon. I left a camera, a very expensive lens, on the back of my Jeep in Wynon with a bunch of homeless people, and I come back, didn't even know I had left it. I would have driven off, and the guy came out of the tent, a little makeshift tent, and he says, brother, I thank you for what you're doing. You left your lens on this car. I picked it up, and you understand? In Waikiki and down at the State Building, I had four cameras stolen. At between the Supreme Court and the regular judiciary, so you go figure.
Right, you know, people give him the ideas, you know, and he was coming in as a federal agent from Virginia, so he's like, oh, okay, you know, better watch out for the locals, you know.
I mean, and the bottom line is that human being lost.
Really a defensive one.
A human being lost his life based on something that even the living can't figure out.
Right.
That's what's shameful. What a cheap way to expend your life.
What's sad.
Yeah, I mean, it's just no cause. And the guy that causes it or contributes to the death really can't offer a good explanation either, because it's the federal government's gun, I assume.
Right, yeah.
And so they're responsible for his actions, with the responsibility that goes the gun, right?
Yeah, well, that's right.
So anyway, okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Aloha.
Right, aloha.
Oh!
Hello!
Hey, hi, Carol.
Yes, sir.
Regarding Agent Dee Dee, he found himself inside a Cold War here in Hawaii, and the local population does not have a good language skill in Pidgin, and they seem to be carrying a chip around on their shoulder. Now, Agent Dee Dee was caught up in a lot of things, and I'd appreciate if you'd go on and expound about the sacrifices Agent Dee Dee makes by carrying a gun, the threats to his well-being and his family by having to use his enforcement skill in an area that's actually rather dangerous, and Pocal, I knew, is at the bottom of stirring this Cold War. I appreciate you expounding on the sacrifice that Agent Dee Dee makes being a carrying federal officer.
Well, I would ask you, what is the most lethal of them all? A chip on his shoulder, as you described so carefully, that the local people, quote, local people, carry a chip on his shoulder, or a male from Virginia working for the federal government carrying a lethal weapon, a firearm? Which is more deadly, a chip on the shoulder or a bang bang? So that's question one response to you. It's not a foregone conclusion, And I think that the ethnocentric attitude mindset that is projected and presented by people of your ilk, not of your type, and I'm very frank with you, to draw conclusions and be so careless and reckless to just automatically say the local people. Hey, the President of the United States was born and raised here. So somehow somebody amongst us, or the quote local people, spoke English, and that he was able to speak that same language and with the same pidgin, and was able to find his way, in fact, has the keys to the White House. So let's be careful. This is two people acting out, and now we're burdened with trying to explain it. Let the federal government explain it. Let them tell us their gun policies. Let them tell us their standard operations. Let us tell, is that consistent? What Didi was doing is consistent with their operating policy. Does he have a reason, a need? And then shoot, don't shoot scenarios. Did he ever get trained for that? Many times in training, they show you, give you, drill you, your brain just filled with shoot, don't shoot scenarios. And I assure you, if he went through Federal Academy, he experienced that training. So I'm not blaming him. I wasn't there, but it's just something we can't perpetuate, this BS about local people. Because you ever been to Virginia and try to talk to some of those people? You ever been to Ohio and try to talk to some sense in those people? I mean, you see, so it's let's stay away from that. I think that's been troubling for me. We bring our ethnocentric attitudes with us as Malahinis, and then we want to become judge and jury, and it's just unfair. Caller, good morning. Go ahead. You have a comment or question?
Oh, hi. Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I, you know, Hawaii is a wonderful place. A lot of good people here. You know, I believe in this aloha spirit. I've gotten to be experience it. It's a good thing. You know, I did want to make the point though that it just seems to me a dramatic contrast in the Waikiki shooting the other day and the Didi shooting, and you know, some of this stuff, I'm going to say this, goes back to history a little bit, and it goes back to, say, like the Massey trial, which a lot of people get taught about it in school, and it was very unjust. A Hawaiian was shot and killed very unjustly. The whole thing was completely a farce and unjust, and there was no justice for it whatsoever. But I'll say this, that was over 75 years ago, and ever since then, quite honestly, lots of say Haoles have been brutalized, killed, put in diapers, punched, and so the vengeance has been taken for that. Vengeance has absolutely been taken for that, and I think hopefully today and now in this jury, I hope they can make a good and fair decision. You know, that's all. That's all I can say about it. But you know, I'm with you. We should try and not. You know, we should be together. We should be one Hawaii. And we should be for, you know, what's good for the environment, what's good for the people, and not the divisions are. We should try and make the divisions a great thing.
Yeah, if you got a minute, let me ask you this: the behavior, just speaking of the Massey and the incidents that took place that were racist.
Yes, absolutely.
So who was responsible for projecting those racial attitudes on who? The locals were the ones who projected racism on the whites involved in that, or was it the whites who projected the racism on the locals?
Oh, yeah, it was absolutely. It was white racism.
Okay.
My point
No, let me finish my point. You've given me your point. So,
okay, go ahead.
So you have that. So we start with that.
Yeah.
So here's what I would suggest to all parties involved from here on out.
Uh-huh.
If you don't incorporate racism in your behavior, and that was one isolated incident. So when we say to others, well, the Massey case just caused this thing to fester, and then today, 75 years later, it's still, we can see remnants of it. No, there were other acts, mindsets, attitudes, political stances that whites projected, not just whites, Asians projected on local people, and local people there were Asians and others. So I beg the difference that we should stop trying to minimize what is occurring and acknowledge that one wrong can trigger a thousand rights because everybody else reacting going to think they're right. So what I would suggest is that we cleanse our heart, those that projected on the massive victims, the guys that whatever they were accused of falsely. Maybe it's that mindset that they were first accused wrongfully, right?
Yeah, right.
Right. So they were wrongfully accused, and then this, quote, legal system that was going to stand back and be righteous also subjected to. So it wasn't just one single act. So stand back, and if it was whites with this mindset and being impacted, I would offer the same argument. Let's not belittle the human mind and the human spirit to say one incident caused them to just go nuts.
No, it isn't. But I think some of this chip on the shoulderness and hurt feelings. There's a lot of there's a lot of hurt feelings in Hawaii about the past.
Yeah.
You know, there is, and you know it can be hard sometimes. But I agree with you. You know, we shouldn't just let one wrong, as you said, I think, turn into everybody that thinks they're right. You know, and I that's why I'm looking at you know this case, and I'm just thinking. You know, it should be fair. You know, it shouldn't be judged upon an incident that happened
right. And
over 75 years ago, something around there.
Can I offer you, and I'll do this publicly, I can do it privately if you'd like, but let me just offer something. As an African-American man,
sure.
The last thing I want to ever hear from anybody is to describe me as a chip on the shoulder, because what you're basically doing is saying, I'm going to rob that SOB of his history, of everything that he knows and his perspective and his experience, and I'm going to put it in a nutshell and call it a chip on the shoulder. And then you walk away. You want to know what's racist and what's frustrating? I'm just telling you straight up. It's when a person, an innocent, quote, innocent bystander looking on and quantifies my actions and my perception and my life experience as a chip on the shoulder. Not a chip off the old block. Because the people that are projecting that problem and that image is a chip off the old block, you see.
Yeah, well, you're clearly not. You're a wise...
But no, I'm a smart colored guy, is what you're saying. No, I'm just a person who say that let's stop this whole thing and own up to being wrong and being wrong, and then we don't teach our offspring and our kids, which going into the future, that the people over there that speak with pidgin and speak a little different are small-minded and can't draw conclusions. And so that's why I've always said, and I my toes curl up when I hear locals say, we never experienced racism. Many of things in this state is based on and founded on racist acts.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not preaching to you, but I give you a little insight openly and publicly. But when one describes a person of color or a minority or a person that has been wrong, you wouldn't tell rape victims that they're going around now with a chip on the shoulder because they're advocating for more protection and more stiffer penalties and what have you. You wouldn't do that, right?
No, I don't think so. Not at all.
I know. I'm just rhetorical.
I think from the big picture, for me, I look at people as we're all related. You know, we're really just a family, and we're absolutely all related. You know. We were all hunter-gatherers, we all came from Africa, we all went different directions, and here we are, you know, and it's just old-fashioned, you know.
Hey.
You have this tribal instinct.
You may have come from Africa, but I came from Mississippi, man. You can't take that away from me, brother.
No, I know. It's, believe me, I know, we have, but it's just, you know, our history. We have common ancestors.
Yeah, and you ever have catfish and okra, man? Come on.
I have never been to the South. I've never been anywhere near Mississippi, quite honestly. I don't know that I have a single relative from anywhere near there. But
yeah, it's a beautiful place.
I'd love to go there sometime. I know, like, especially, like, right on the Gulf there, you know, like Alabama and Mississippi. Seems like a neat little place.
The whole place is awesome. It's just people. You throw in the people element, and then they'll screw it up for you. But okay. Anyway, that's something we all need to work on when we talk about Pono and all. We just need to come clean and just say, you know. But I've talked about this on the earlier shows, the disproportionate number of the executions that occurred that were dealt out by government for punishment for crimes, right?
Yeah.
Not only one Caucasian male was executed. And in that process, over the number of 75 or number of people that were executed here, 24 were Hawaiian, 24, 25 were Filipino, 7 or 9 were Japanese. I got the facts. I'm just
speaking. Right, right, right.
But there was a disproportion. And even when it was a Anglo-Saxon white male that was involved with a heinous crime with children, they didn't put his name down on the list. They put his boat name that he came in on. You understand?
Okay.
So step back and give the local brothers and the colored fellow over here a break when you say a chip on the shoulder, because you just diminished.
No.
I'm just saying. I'm for those others that are listening. We're bigger than that, and we have a brain capacity that can remember things, and we associate danger from the past experience with danger, and we can predict things. You know, we can predict that if things, and you look around, go to Kailua and ask yourself, who owns the building and the properties? Maybe go to look at the land issues here, not just the king and the queen issues, but the people being boxed out because of higher taxes. They never had jobs, so they inherited the land. Now they got nothing. They're on the beach.
I'll tell you this. You mentioned yourself, as an African American. I'll tell you, just as a white guy, I fully acknowledge, there is this thing, they call it, especially in the college, there seems to be a big theme word these days, but this, idea of white privilege and stuff. I mean, I recognize that, I've had that, there's just no question about it, especially compared to probably you and your family. I have zero doubt about that, that's a reality. It's just another reason why we need to try and, hopefully things change and get better. I think we're on the right trend, I think we're headed in the right direction. We just need to keep doing it, and the younger generations, it's just like a whole new world with them, and it's nice to see.
But unfortunately, hatred and racism does not, you're impacted by it, it doesn't show physical scars. So maybe if some way we could say, okay, I experienced the most heinous behavior or racist act toward me ever, and so see my scar? Oh, my God, that's horrendous. If we were able to do that, fine, but because these are mental things, scarring, no one is willing to allow you to explain. They don't have the time because they think you're thin-skinned and sensitive, not just carrying a chip on your shoulder. So you understand.
The other thing is, here's what I believe, too, is that I this is the sort of realist in me that believes that it's not going to go. I just believe that this tribalism thing, I think it's a human instinct, and I think it's for survival purposes. I've heard you don't want to share with the other tribes. You have to identify. You're different. He's the bad guy. You're the good guy. We share with us, and we're the real people and all that. Every group has that. And so it's right under the surface. Look at a football game. Anytime you have two colors in politics, you have the red and the blue, the Crips, the Bloods, in other countries you see it, in Thailand it's the reds and the yellows, and, it's all around the world, this tribalism that exists, this hatred of, us and them, and so people will find a way to divide and hate each other, and so you just, that's where, good laws and good leadership and all that stuff that you talk about comes into play, because It can turn, one day you're going to have this group is going to be the victim. Another day they're going to be the perpetrator. So stuff does change. Pendulum swing, So that's my concern too.
Well, whether it was not the British with the Irish people, the folks that stuck blacks on boats and took them to America and wherever, all points of the world, to be slaves. You see, let's go gravitate to way back, because we only done a cursory attempt to satisfy, and you hinted on it, affirmative action. So if black people and minorities didn't create affirmative action, it was a reaction and a response by whites who said, damn, we really did you wrong, and we got to do something about this. And so that goes on for a couple of years. Now all of a sudden, we can't give you that. That's racism, reverse racism. If we try to, we're going to take back what we agreed that we had agreed that we caused harm to you, so massive harm that, you know, we're going to have to take that back because doing that is reverse racism.
Right, right. Yeah.
You see, and then, but you got to be cool because you can't show your chip on the shoulder. You know, I piss you off, but you got to learn to talk my language and be silky tongue and speak eloquently. How can you? You're asking a snake not to bite.
Yeah. No. Well, it's they're tough calls, you know, and
not really.
Action is a tough call, I think too. You know, I think people have the idea. I hear what you're saying. I think people have the idea that I'm not in a disagreement.
Yeah.
That should go on for a longer period of time. I'm not against that. You know, I'll give you another different example.
Real quick, I got another caller, but go ahead. I don't want to. Go ahead.
It's gender. It's like, you know, Title IX now has given, guys, the only thing they were good at is sports. They made that, like, separate but equal. Okay, that's great. It's been wonderful for women. I think it'd been great for men. I wouldn't repeal that Patsy Minks thing. It was good, Title IX. But the thing is now guys are slipping back in academics, too. I'm not slipping back, but girls are, like, taking over. They're going to college. They're graduating more. So there's no, I think, you know, maybe they should have when they give scholarships, it should be 50-50 between men and women, because now you're having too many. If more women are going, women are just going to take over the world, and you got to...
They already, brother, they've always been smarter than we are. That's why we reacted by restricting them and putting laws on them. You can't work. You got to stay at home and raise the babies, and you're going to do that. Remember, we created, males created all of this nonsense.
You're right.
Then in turn, now we're going, oh my God, the cat's out of the bag. They are smarter, and they were smarter than us. And what are we going to do now, Joseph?
Yeah, well, they're going to be taken over. So that's how that's going to work.
They've always owned us, man.
Thank you, Carol.
Okay, brother. Aloha. Caller, I'm sorry. Go ahead. You'll come in a question. Well, I guess he had no comment, no question. But anyway, folks, I don't mean to. I was going to tell you about a couple things on taxes, and I had said. But anyway, within the city, and I will talk about it and go into great details. There are three boards in the city and county of Honolulu set up, and there's one board, two board, three, and they are supposed to have a commission, and this commission and the same board. This commission hears your appeal on your property assessments that has been handed out by the city. Well, what is happening, the mayor, Caldwell, for approximately a year or so, he has not named or picked anyone for the, and they don't have a full quorum on Board 3. So you living in Board 3 area, Waianae, Kapolei, Pearl City, Mililani, to Shafter, to Haleiwa, you have to appeal and petition for another board to hear you. So the big question is, why is not the mayor appointing someone? Why has he left that vacant? And we're going to talk about that next week, unless dinosaurs start talking. But just to give an example, I'm looking at for 2011-2012, here's one example. The initial assessment made by the city was $909,300. It was reduced to, as they settled, for $800,000. Here's one that was for $5,581,100 at initial assessment. They went in and appealed it and got it reduced to $5,022,000. And some are $29 million, for example. FPA Kamehameha Sausage, $29,131,800 was reduced to $26,218,000 and 60. So I'm trying to hurry through, but I want to read to you next week and share with you this and try to get some questions. We asked the mayor for comments, and we're waiting for those. But there's something wrong here. Only 90% are rejected, but I see Bishop Estate, Damien Estate, and many others get their hearing, and they got a reduction in property assessment. So anyway, it's kind of an eye-opener. For example, Lowe's Hawaii has originally assessed for one piece of property, $8,035,000. It was reduced to $7,049,700. And they have several properties. BP Bishop Trust Estate, they were hit with an $8,827,000 bill, but they went in, contested it, appealed it, and got it reduced to $8,024,000. So about $700,000. So something's wrong here. And why are you not able to, if you were to appeal? But I'm going to actually post this up on carolcox.com and let you see for yourself. And we're going to ask some questions of the mayor. Why, at a minimum, why? And why has he let this board sit idle without the necessary or having a quorum? So therefore, none of this will be heard. Your cases won't be heard unless you go and appeal and be heard by another board. So that's some big questions there. And imagine the benefits of if you were able to appeal or had someone to hear your case. But then what does that say about their ability to estimate? Should we trust their initial assessment? Because this list that I'm reading from, for example, for the 2012, has actually, for example, the total amount, that initial assessment that of all the properties in these people that appeal, $1,858 million, I'm sorry. And then it was reduced to $1,388 million. Why? How can they be so inaccurate on these things? So there's some problems. But anyway, we'll talk to you next week, and I appreciate you listening, and keep your head down. And for all of you out there, don't act like the old chip off the block and get the chip off your shoulder. Let's love one another, and let's take another cruise down to Miami.
Miami. South Beach, bringing the heat. Can y'all feel that? Can y'all feel that? Jig it out. Here I am in the place where I come let go. In Miami, the bass and the sunset low. Every day like a Mardi Gras. Everybody party all day. No work, all play, okay? So we sip a little something, leave the rest to spill. Me and Charlie at the bar running up a high bill. Nothing less than ill when we dress to kill. Every time the ladies pass, they be like, can y'all feel me? All ages and races, real sweet faces. Every different nation, Spanish, Haitian, Indian, Jamaican, black, white, Cuban, or Asian. I only came for 2 days of playing, but every time I come, I always wind up staying. This the type of town I can spend a few days in. Miami, the city that keeps the roof blazing.
Party in the city where the heat is on all night on the beach till the break of dawn.
Welcome to Miami. Bienvenido a Miami.
Bouncing in the club where the heat is on all night on the beach till the break of dawn.
I'm going to Miami.
Welcome to Miami.
Yo, I heard the rainstorms ain't nothing to mess with, but I can't feel a drip on the strip. It's a trip. Ladies half dressed, fully equipped, and they be screaming out. So I'm thinking I'ma scoop me something hot in this South Summer rain game melting pot. Hottest club in the city, and it's right on the beach. Temperature, get the it's about 500 degrees in the Caribbean seas with the hot mommy screaming. Every time I come to town, they be spotting me.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. on K1 Wake. Next Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.